we started out kind of light, but we've picked up a little bit since then. So we're glad to see everybody here this morning. This morning I want to talk about a subject which I think we all need to hear for sure, because this is something God talks about. But it's about making a difference. And as you see on your screen here, we sometimes feel that we do not seem to make a difference by our lives, but we should also know that we can make a difference in someone else's life. And so we have to know that. And we really do, because we interact with other people, we are supposed to make a difference. And so that's what we're going to be talking about. See, the problem lies in the fact that we are so small in comparison to this world, and we feel we need to make a difference in the world. And that's kind of like an overwhelming task. Even in our country, we would like to make a difference. We would like to think that our vote counted or something like that when we elect politicians and all. And sometimes we feel, what does it matter? I mean, my vote doesn't count. So a lot of people, they just don't vote at all. And that's very true. About half this country who's registered, rarely do they ever get more than 50% of the people voting. So, and that's just those on the rolls. Half this country isn't even on the rolls. So with such lofty goals, everyone will admit defeat even before they make any effort at all. And this is something we have a tendency to do. We have defeat because we can't make a difference in this world. At least that's our thinking, so we give up. We don't even try. And so we need to make a difference in our world. Now, the world I'm talking about is where we dwell and interact with others. We're not talking about Houston, Texas, or New York City, or New York State, or China, or anything like that. The people that we make a difference with are the ones that we see every day, the ones we talk to every day, the ones we interact with, whether it's the grocery store clerk or the gas station attendant or whatever. Might be your neighbor you run across every now and then. But these are the people we're supposed to impact with our lives. So that's what our focus is going to be about. We're going to talk about the need to make a difference because God wants us to make a difference. The ability that God gives us to make a difference. He has given us, each of us, that ability to make a difference in someone else's life. The question is, will we use that ability? That's what we need to talk about. The effort we need to apply to make a difference. Yes, there is an effort we have to put forth, but it can be done. He gives us that ability, and He expects us to use that ability. And so we're going to talk about the realization that in order to make a difference in others, I must start with making a difference in me. It's always that way. We've always got to make a difference in me. In Revelation 3, 15 through 17, says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I mean, there's a lot of things that people are naive about, and that's one of them. You think everything's fine, everything is really good, going good, but you don't know. Because you don't make a difference in others. That's what it's going to talk about. We can relate to this if we look at the idea of cold and hot liquids. You know, when it's hot outside and you're working hard and you know that a drink of cold water or some other cold beverage cools you down inside. That's what you expect. We all do. And then maybe when it's cold outside, nothing warms you up as well as a cup of hot chocolate or coffee or tea. It warms you up inside. It just gives you that feeling. Either way, the liquid is to make a difference in how we feel. The problem is when it's lukewarm, it does not do that. You know, I like hot coffee, but when it gets down to that room temperature, yuck. I'm just not going to touch it at all. I'm going to dump it out or go throw it in the microwave. Get it hot again. But still, I expect the liquid that I drink to make a difference. And just room temperature tap water does not do that. It's got to come out of the refrigerator. It's got to be cold. If I have to put ice in it, that's what I'm going to do. But if I want to cool down, it better be something close to freezing temperature that goes into my body. That cools me down. So we want it to make a difference. Now, God wants you to make a difference in the lives of others. See, lukewarm Christians are something that's real. It's like that room temperature coffee. You take a sip and you just spit it back into the cup. I know I do. Now, some people like lukewarm coffee. I'm not going to take anything away from you. Some people like iced coffee. I don't understand that, but you do. And so, anyway, but we're not going to talk about that. We're going to concentrate on the fact that where we're supposed to be making a difference, we don't do it. So the problem with being lukewarm is that everything appears fine on the outside. Just like that cup of coffee, it looks fine. You put it to your mouth and find out, yuck, it's not fine. So they have the appearance of being good, moral people. And we figure that it's good enough for God most of the time. And that's usually what we see at church. We see a lot of people, they come here and it looks like they're good moral people. They talk like they're good moral people. They might behave like it when they're here. But what happens when they walk out the doors and go to their homes? Sometimes we don't know. We're supposed to know our brethren very well, but sometimes they don't allow us that opportunity. And so that really is a false perception. And so lukewarm Christians do not make a difference in the people around them that God wants them to make. God expects us to make a difference in others. He told us to let our light shine. Why? We're supposed to be an example to others. That's what we're supposed to be. Our influence is supposed to guide others to seek what we seek. We seek salvation. We have the hope of salvation. Our behavior is to motivate them into that direction. We're to influence people towards serving God. That is a command that we have. We're to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And serving God is definitely a good deed. So lukewarm Christians have far too little impact on the lives of those whom they come in contact with. Well, they might have impact, but we're talking about spiritual matters, getting people to realize the importance of serving God. And when we don't do that, really, if we're not impacting others towards serving God, are we any benefit to God? No, we're not any benefit to God. And while these people have good qualities, there's no question about that. While they have some good qualities, they feel good about themselves because of their good qualities. The truth is, these people are not totally devoted to God. And we'll see that in some of these examples. See, the lukewarm Christians love God. Well, you can go into any denomination and ask people, do you love God? Yes, I love God. You can practically go anywhere in our society, and if you don't run across an atheist, yeah, I love God. But you know, Titus 1:16 says they profess to love God, but their deeds deny Him. They don't obey Him. They do not give Him first place in their life. God is always second to themselves. And so they consider only extreme Christians actually love God with their whole heart. You know, have you ever met anybody like that? They'll even come out and say, well, you must be some fanatic, or you're some extreme Christian because you actually put God first in your life. That doesn't work in the real world, they'll tell you. Well, yes, it does work in the real world, and we have to prove that it does. See, logically, they know that God should come first, but they do not consistently place Him there. It's always what I want, what I desire, what I feel I need for myself. That's usually how they are. But yet they know, well, I still have to go to church. I still have to watch my language. I still have to behave when I'm around other Christians. See, Matthew 6:33, Jesus didn't quibble about this when it's convenient. He didn't put those words in there. He said, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. In other words, first means primo, first thing of all. That's the most important thing, seeking God first. And yet most people, a lot of people, of course, no people of the world, they put themselves first. And they really don't care what God has to say. But lukewarm Christians, they do care what God has to say, but as long as it doesn't get in my way. You know people like that? They act like that? See, Matthew 22, the first and second greatest command. Love the Lord your God, and then, of course, love your neighbor as yourself. Lukewarm Christians are not that religious. See, they think religious, being religious, is kind of a show. In fact, for them, it's kind of a front. And, of course, that's what people do at church, right? They put on that front. Of course, we have another word for that. And sure, they know that serving God is important and all that. And they do not believe that making a spectacle of themselves to show how religious they are matters. And Jesus talked about that. He says, don't worry about those who go into the marketplace and hold up their arms and show off how religious they are. Jesus said they have their reward, the praises of men. But we are to have from the heart. We are to be serving God. And they want just enough religion to settle their conscience so they can stay out of trouble. Basically, to get the preacher off their back and to stop stepping on their toes or something along that line. Or somebody else calling up and asking them why they're not doing certain things. 2 Timothy 3:5 describes these people. They're holding to a form of godliness but have denied its power. And there's a lot of people who wear the name of Christ. A lot of people who call themselves Christians. They have a form of godliness and they hold on to it, but yet they deny the power that is there. They don't let the power of Christ motivate them. They don't let the power of his resurrection stimulate them to go out and share the gospel message with others. See, lukewarm Christians only pretend to love others. In theory, such a concept of loving others sounds good to them. They like the idea, and we talk about it. And they rarely do something for others unless they can get something out of it. A couple Sundays ago, well, several Sundays, Roy was teaching class, and he made this very point. A lot of times, yeah, we'll talk about if you need something, let me know. And you're actually hoping they never ask you to do anything, right? Yeah, and that's the point Roy was making, a very excellent point. Yeah, we always tell people, if you need something, just let me know. Oh, please, 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 don't ask me, don't ask me. Is the attitude that a lot of us have, or some people have. And so, it's like that. And doing good for others is usually limited. Well, only if they're one of my very favorite friends, I'll do something for them. Take them to the doctor, or mow their yard, or something like that. It's limited to certain individuals who will get our attention. And perhaps when it's convenient. Well, I'll get over there. Maybe if it's convenient next Saturday, I'll do your yard. Of course, you know what can happen between now and next Saturday with someone's yard. It get out of control. It makes it a lot harder. So anyway, remember Matthew 22, to love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, we talk about the fact that these people are selfish. They only look at things what I want to do. But God tells us we're to love our neighbor just as much. Just like we love ourselves, we're supposed to love our neighbor in equal proportion. See, lukewarm Christians have good intentions. They always have good intentions. Sure, someday I will teach my neighbor. Sure, someday I will study my Bible like I should. Someday I will begin to attend all the services, and someday I will make the necessary sacrifices to get my life in line with God. But see, the Bible tells us we're to redeem our time now, because the days are already evil. This world is filled with evil. Everything this world throws our direction is evil. You turn on the TV. There's nothing wholesome there. There's nothing on TV that's really, really good for you. Even Sesame Street has its political rhetoric and saying certain things are okay that God says aren't. So there's really nothing wholesome entertainment that we find on television. You pick up the newspaper, it's really not there. In fact, a lot of stories you read in the magazines, they glorify some sin, which what God has called sin, they glorify it, and they talk about people learning to accept it. We're never to accept sin. We're never to tolerate sin, just like God doesn't tolerate sin. So we have to use our time, and the time is now. Paul didn't say someday. Paul always said today. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Don't put off serving God and learning about God. And what do they say about the road to hell is paved with what? Good intentions. See, lukewarm Christians talk about zeal. But see, that's all they ever do. This seems to be the golden fleece for these people. They talk about growing in zeal and knowledge and other spiritual things. But they never get around to it. Oh, it's nice to talk about. Well, yeah, that's what God wants us to talk about when we gather together. We talk about growing our faith, growing in our knowledge of God and other spiritual things. But we don't get around to it. See, learning about the great zeal of others never inspires them to work towards making a difference, even in themselves. See, Hebrews 12, 1 through 6 talks about this. Talks about how we have such a great cloud of witnesses, referencing those from Hebrews chapter 11, the great heroes of faith that God gives us. What did they do? They did things because God asked them to do it. And they did it by faith. And they were rewarded for that faith. And he says, take this faith and apply it to yourselves. Focus your gaze on Jesus and start serving him. That's what we're supposed to do. And it should inspire us to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to run the race with endurance. We need that endurance. The Bible tells us we need that endurance. And we need to hang on and hang in there and do those things God wants us to do. See, lukewarm Christians are often silent about their faith. Maybe not in the church building, but they sometimes do set a good example for others. Yes, they watch their language. They behave themselves. They don't go out and drink with the butt guys or stuff like that. So they do set a good example. And sometimes they have a positive influence on others. Yet rarely do they take the time to have a meaningful discussion about salvation or the doctrine of Christ, or anything having to do with God. Most times when you get with people of the world, what are you going to talk about? You're going to talk about politics. You're going to talk about the weather. You're going to talk about sports. Any number of subjects you want to describe. But how often can you turn the conversation into a spiritual conversation? That's something we have to work on. And when people act like this, it's kind of like they're ashamed of the gospel. We should never be ashamed of God. That's the same as being ashamed of Christ. You remember what Christ said? If you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. So Romans 1:16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And we should preach that gospel. We could share that gospel with others because that's what this world needs. We know that. That's what this world needs. And if we don't give it to them, we're going to deprive them of hearing the truth. You know, Hebrews 12 and verse 15, see to it that no one is deprived of the grace of God. That's a responsibility placed upon each one of us. We should not be the one that deprives someone of the gospel. And the easiest way to deprive someone of the gospel is to not even bring it up. See, when you bring it up, you know something's going to happen. They're going to get mad at you. They're going to start picking on you. They're going to make fun of you. And you just can't deal with that. It's not easy. But Jesus said, you know what? I'll be there. I got your back. And we forget that. See, lukewarm Christians settle into a one-sided religion. See, they will recognize there's one true church, and this is probably the right church because they teach the things from the Bible, but they do not integrate the church into their lives. It's just some place they attend, and it's not something they're a part of. And that's how a lot of people behave. Holding on to sound doctrine is kept in the church building, but they don't carry about wherever they go. They may take it, they may take it into their hearts, but that's as far as it goes. It doesn't go out to others, which it should. What we encourage each other to do is share. We have the greatest blessings from God. We have the hope of salvation the world does not have. And Jesus asked us to go share that with others. And we should be doing that. But yet, sometimes people don't want to hear that. It says the time will come they will not endure sound doctrine. So they're going to find preachers that just make them feel good about themselves. And they're a dime a dozen out there. And they're all over the place in this world. Ephesians 1, 18 through 23 talks about the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. God put him in that position. He is head over all things to the church, and we need to honor him as such. See, lukewarm Christians depend upon themselves. And see, this is the problem. They have not learned to put their trust in God. Always looking out for yourself, what I can do for myself. That's where a lot of us get to that point where, well, nobody else is going to do anything for me. I'll just do it myself. And a lot of us have faced that. We have different problems, and nobody is helping us, so I'm just going to have to take care of it myself. See, they arrange their lives so that they can remain comfortable. And that's what we all want, right? We all want to be comfortable. We get into our comfort zones. But God and Jesus are asking us to get out of that comfort zone. Our comfort zone might be here in the church building, where we can talk about God freely, without fear of the molestation, without fear of somebody coming in and beating us up because we talk about God. We talk about what God expects of us, and we say so freely. But as long as it doesn't impact us, we're okay. Just enough church to feel good about me. And that's how some people behave. Now, I'm not saying that's what's in their heart. But usually, as we've been discussing when we talk about attitudes, what we see in a person, what we see in their behavior, kind of is an indicator of what's in their heart. They believe God exists, absolutely, but they do not take the risk of defending him. See, every day, whether you're in school or in the workplace, someone says something nasty about God. Am I right? Everywhere you go, especially in schools, in the workplace, in the neighborhood, in city hall, someone has a disparaging remark about Jesus or God, and there's silence. See, as we read from our scripture reading, don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge God and let him guide your path. He guides your path through his word. He gives us the instruction we need through his word. And that's what we need to do and not rely upon ourselves. Unfortunately, for some of you, this may apply. Only you can make that determination, and we can get caught up in our comfort zones and fail to exercise pure religion and even our faith from time to time. I mean, do your friends know that you are a person of faith? Do they see you pray over your food? Do they see you pray at other times? I mean, if you were not ashamed of Christ, you would pray more often. Of course, there's going to be ridicule that comes from that. You know, when Tim Tebow knelt down and prayed, everybody made a big deal about it. See, Christians are to impact the world for good. And we really are. But the world we're talking about is not everybody, all the 7 billion people on this planet. What we're supposed to impact is the world around us. Where we live, where we stay, where we work, where we go to school. Our job is to impact those people to serve the Lord. To impact them, to do what is right, and to understand what is right, and know that God is serious when God talks about sin. Titus 3:14, Paul writes, "And let our people also learn to engage in good deeds to meet the pressing needs, that they may not be unfruitful." Because we know what Jesus said about those who are unfruitful. So they're going to be cast into the fire. We need to be fruitful for God. So now you know why lukewarmness is so disgusting to the Lord. Now you know why he will spit it out of his mouth. He cannot stand it. Now the question for this morning is, are you ready to make a difference in the lives of others? Are you ready to turn your life around and start living for Christ? Not just wearing his name, but start living for Christ. To be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know what they are. Everybody in here has heard it before. You hear, believe, repent, confess, you're baptized, and then live faithful. Well, part of that living faithful is being a positive example to others. And being a positive influence on others. And that's where a lot of times maybe we have failed. We just kind of blend into society because we don't want them picking on us. Well, all that is nothing more than selfishness. And selfishness will not let you go to heaven. You've got to put all that away. You've got to confess your sins and start over. God gives us a fresh start every time we do that. So why don't you start today with a fresh start and start serving him with all your heart, with all your mind, your soul, and your strength. If you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.